Father God, we come before you. You know what you've laid on my heart. I have the unique, as well as myself, as well as some of the other elders, deacons, and pastors. We have the unique opportunity to watch outcomes in other people's lives, to see where a path will take us, Lord. One, stepping out in faith and watching you do things we never would have thought possible through the lives of others. And the other, Lord, stepping in a wrong direction and watching, if they don't correct themselves, the harm and the damage that will come. And so, Lord, we come into the house looking for the wisdom of God, looking that our lives might be more like yours, looking that we would learn how to walk wisely in an evil age. The days are evil, Lord. It doesn't take much or far or even a long search to find evil. So, Lord, I pray that your word would strengthen your men, bless them, Lord, with clarity. And, Lord, perhaps even if they've headed the wrong direction, give them the grace to change course. And so, Lord, may this time minister to your body. And may your word not return void, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 101, a psalm of, how many have cheated and read the top line there? Psalm of David, very good. Some have argued this was David's sort of ethos for how he would govern, or basically how he would charter and rule his kingdom. And so Psalm 101, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee. O Lord, will I sing. Mercy and judgment both belong together. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart, dealing with his own attitudes. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward, a wicked heart, shall depart from me, which means for him to walk within his house with a perfect heart, he's doing some work to keep that heart right. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. The idea, not that he wouldn't meet them socially, but he would choose his company wisely, both within his administration and perhaps within his social network. So I will not know a wicked person whose privily slandereth his neighbor. So I won't accompany myself with people who love to destroy, gossip, and tear down. Not somewhere I want to be. And by the way, not the kind of people he wants advising him as a king. Who privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. Again, the idea of those who are arrogant, proud heart, all about themselves. These are not the kind of people I will pick. My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. That's who you want in your social, your friend group, or in this case, his employee as a king. My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, a legit walk with God, he shall serve me. So how many are getting the sense David's making clear his selection process? Right? I'm looking for those who do not slander their neighbors. I'm looking for those who aren't arrogant with a proud look. I won't even abide them. I'll look for those who are faithful, and the way you know they're faithful is you watch what they do. And I'll be looking for those that walk in a perfect way. And then, of course, no one is sinless. But they're really doing the effort of trying to walk in a way that's honorable to God. Him that walks in a perfect way, these are the ones, David said, he shall serve me. These are the ones he's looking for his employ. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house, the idea of his administration. So you don't want those who are deceitful. That will bring problems. These are bad advisors if they're deceitful. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Again, no need to employ liars. Can't trust them. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land. So when David comes to power, he's going to basically execute justice, get rid of those who are out of the way. That I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. And so here, basically, he is doing his best to make sure that his kingdom is built upon integrity. The people who work with him are men of integrity. And that he will early on get rid of those things that are dishonorable. So David gives a very simple, it's only 8 verses. But there are a couple things that I want us to focus on today. And that is, first, verse 2, walking within your heart, your house with a perfect heart. Having a right attitude before God. Most of what you're going to deal with in this world, start here. Most of the things that are out there to tempt you, it starts in the heart. Curiosity, wanting to be proven right, whatever it may be. But really, the heart is where a lot of the things first get started or take root, or you make a decision that you're going to do things your way. And so it's interesting. I walk within my house with a perfect heart. And then verse 3. He does not have Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook for the old people. I know. I'm not on it, but I've heard. I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes. That's a major statement. I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes. And verse 4, a froward, wicked heart shall depart from me. You see, one way to make sure you're walking in your house with a perfect heart is you're careful what you allow your eyes to see. Because once you allow your eyes to see things that are wicked or curious or whatever, you'll find that it begins to hook you in and trap you. And next thing you know, you're caught up in thought life. You're living mentally where you'd never live physically. It's robbing you of your joy and your peace. You can't focus. And you've put your eyes in the wrong place, and it's compounding because now you have issues. And it all starts in the heart. Look at Job 31, just before the Psalms. Job 31. Job chapter 31. Job is, we think, one of the oldest books we have. In Job chapter 31, Job, if you've read it, how many have read it? How many have not? Let me see. Good, raise your hand. It's okay if you haven't. It's worth reading. One or two hands. That's pretty good. In Job chapter 31, he said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why should I then think upon a maid? This is when they all wore tunics. Never mind spring break. Tunics. I made a covenant with my eyes. Why should I then think upon a maid? So back to trying to have a perfect heart, trying to make sure what he sets before his eyes isn't dishonorable, trying to make sure he keeps wickedness from his heart. It's one thing to acknowledge beauty. Well, that's a beautiful lady, or well, that's a handsome dude. It's another thing to wonder what are they like in bed or naked. And of course, now AI is giving you the ability to basically engineer that if you want to see it, sadly. Go also to Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5. Nighttime, I wear a mouth guard, keeps you from snoring. Also does a little number in your teeth, but man, I sleep great, right? And do you know what it was like this morning trying to get that mouth guard out with like the, I was like, wow. So I'm sitting here and I'm moving my mouth. I'm like, man, it still hurts from pulling that thing out last night. Like, Matthew chapter 5. Sorry, I digress. But Jesus said, you have heard that it is said of them of old time, back with Moses and the law, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, who's speaking? Jesus. Who is he? God in human flesh. From God's perspective, I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, has committed adultery already with her in his heart. If your right eye offends you, pluck it out, cast it from you. For it's profitable for you that your members should perish, and not that your whole body should be cast into hell. And if your right hand offend you, if your Instagram feed offends you, uninstall it. Your right hand offends you, cut it off, cast it from you, for it is profitable for you that one of your members should perish, not that the whole body should be cast into hell. Interesting. It all starts in the heart. So, about a year ago, I got a frantic call from a mom. They don't live in our state. I met them through doing a wedding in another state. And in doing the wedding, I found out that they live stream. Usually when someone comes up and says, hey, Pastor Chris, Pastor Chris, that's kind of my giveaway that, they've watched or live streamed, or, hey, I've got a spam risk. Should we take it? No, I'm kidding. That's why I don't carry my phone on Sundays, man. But I met this family at a wedding, and I get this frantic call years later. Our son has been caught with material. I think you can understand what kind of material. Would you call him? I called him. I'd met him. And I'm not sure if it happened before that, but we made sure in that phone call he surrendered his life to Jesus. Last week, he just entered prison for a 2-year term. They have to put him in solitary confinement, partly because of the career that he had. He's lost all of it. So I talked to him, who actually talked indirectly. Talked to his mother again last week, and I said, you know, would you do me a favor? I'm going to have a room full of guys, and it's already been on my heart to talk to them about guarding their thought life, guarding their eyes, and guarding their hearts. Would you write something to them? And so that individual who has just gone in, I'm being very vague on where in the country and what state, but it was in the news, has written to all of you. He surrendered his life to Jesus. But I thought in light of what Jesus exhorted us about guarding our eyes, Job saying, why would I think upon a maid? And Jesus saying, your iniquity starts here before God. Long before the action, God sees the heart. So he wrote something to us, and I'd like to read it to you. He called it The Pitfalls of Lust. He said, as human beings were drawn to beauty, a sunset by the beach, a beautiful meadow full of trees and flowers. This guy, I'm guessing, is now mid-30s. Peaceful lake on the horizon, sky reflecting and still waters, painting that depicts emotion, minute details of the image it captures. But when we take that beauty and adore it above the one that created it, we make an idol out of it, and we give it glory and worth that belongs to the one who created it. And this is what lust does. We take the beauty of the human body and we give it a value above God that created it. But with lust in particular, we also distort intimacy and relationship. It's an addiction that I liken to cancer. It is there, but there aren't any symptoms until it is metastasized and spread to other parts of the body. But praise be to God, who is Jehovah Rapha and Jesus, the great physician. He can heal us of this disease. But that doesn't mean the healing won't come with consequences. In this case, 2 years in prison. Just like a tree is pruned, it may hurt us to cut out parts of our lives and lifestyles, even though it's necessary for the health and survival of the whole tree. Similar to a surgery cutting out cancer, there is a recovery process after the procedure. I grew up in church, in a very Christian family. I was involved in all other church activities, even memorized a lot of scriptures through Awanas. He's in another state. But never really made Jesus Lord of my life until I met him in a jail cell and fully surrendered to him. I was introduced, I'm reading again this man's testimony, I was introduced to pornography in middle school at a sleepover. And a result of peer pressure and wanting to be accepted by my peers and the, quote, cool kids, unquote. I'd never had any discussion about sex or intimacy with my parents and quickly became curious about what I had seen. It started slow, looking at lingerie magazines, letting my eyes linger at the pool or a beach a little too long. Eventually, my imagination took over. That's what David was talking about, keeping a pure heart. My imagination took over and I began to fantasize. Shortly after my exposure, I learned about masturbation. Yeah, you need to know this. And once that became a habit, my addiction was cemented. Shame and secrecy became part of my identity as I began to live a secret life. That only increased as I grew up. I even began to introduce others to pornography and sexual things, abusing their trust and love and bringing them into my own shame and secrecy. The cancer was contagious. Began to erode the relationships I did have as I withdrew and isolated myself from friendships and relationships, putting on a mask of religion and fake intimacy to avoid my double life being found out or being vulnerable enough to ask for help. And so the inner loneliness grew. This continued until college, where I quickly found acceptance with the party crowd. Now the cancer had metastasized to other addictions, beginning with weed, nicotine, alcohol, but quickly growing to others, I began to mix these drugs with my lust, as simply looking at porn and masturbating no longer gave me the high I craved. Eventually, regular porn was not enough, even with the drugs, and combined with it, despite the shame and secrecy of the double life, I was able to put on a front and more masks became successful by society's standards. He was actually very successful. If you were to look at me from the outside, you would have had no idea of the inner turmoil and struggle I was living in daily. I was suffocating in shame and loneliness and had become comfortable in my sin and faking relationships and intimacy with others. Not sexual intimacy, but relational. Sexual addictions had me in such shame I couldn't imagine being in a relationship with someone or that they would leave me because I wasn't able to perform like I saw in the videos I watched. The addiction eventually evolved again as I began using psychedelics, leading me to places and types of porn I never even imagined I would look at. And that's, by the way, where he got caught. And only like 3 or 4 counts. And here's the problem. The algorithm watches what you watch. And it begins to serve you content. Guys, how many of you have been offered, transmission warranties and other things from the internet because you were looking up how to fix the transmission or, Bass Pro suddenly because you looked up fishing lures or Asian women who want to meet you, you get those, you're like, they figure out how old you are. Well, the algorithm started sending things his way and he bit. Even porn I never even imagined I would look at. Some of these were criminal images and have since taken away my liberty and freedom in society. However, God's plan is better than our own, and he redeems us even in our sins and shame. I truly believe that my arrest was because of God's grace towards me. It was just getting started. See, if I hadn't had that shakeup in my life, I would still be well on my way to hell if I died. But he humbled me and he showed me his love and grace and mercy for all that I had done. And he did this from a jail cell. By the way, I heard, and he was not a believer yet, the police who dropped him off at home asked if they could pray for him. And they have on their Ring camera 2 cops laying hands on this guy and praying for this guy who's got a world of hurt coming towards him. How's that for like, well, way to go, fellas. As I was convicted that my life was over, he had shown me that it was really just beginning. The peace I felt as I surrendered to him was unexplainable. I heard that on the phone call. It was cool. I wish I could tell you that since that date, I have been struggle-free with lust, but I cannot. What I can tell you is that the addiction to lust has definitely been stronger than the addiction to drug and alcohol. I can also tell you that therapy and group accountability are a must-have to get out of this. And the last thing I can tell you is that even though I fell again into lust after my surrender, Jesus was there waiting with open arms and forgiveness. His love for us is so immense, he truly desires mercy and not judgment. He desires us fully, and that has made me want to desire him all the more. I thought I was alone, but the reality was he was always there beside me, beckoning me to turn to him. My loneliness and shame was a lie that I believed, and that's how Satan works this. I believed that if I was vulnerable with God and those around me, that they would all abandon me. This was so far from the truth. I wish, truly wish, that I had asked God for help sooner. I had had an amazing support and encouragement from those around me, helping me grow in Christ and combat this addiction. By the way, the church down where he was living, some of them really surrounded him and started discipling this guy. God bless them. They did a great job. Jesus speaks to sexual immorality when he says to cut off your hand and gouge out your eyes. This is an extreme attitude we must have towards it. Cut everything off that would lead you into it. Is that your phone? Social media? Remember, this is a guy in prison warning you. Is that your phone? Social media? Trips to the pool or the beach? Is it watching YouTube or TV? Is it having internet access? Trust me, I get some of these things are near necessary and necessities for society living, but I can tell you firsthand that these things can be done without. It will be hard and frustrating at times, but it's worth it to kill and to cut this cancer out from every area that it's grown in. I think so. We must make a covenant with our eyes, as Job said. But if we keep around the things that will be stumbling blocks, are we not setting ourselves up then again for failure? And as a result of that failure, more feelings of shame and defeat would keep you isolated. You need to set yourself for success. Paul says in Corinthians that we who are saved are now temples of the Holy Spirit. When we fall into sexual immorality, it is as though we're bringing Christ into that union with us. And yet he loves us and he forgives us when we repent for those actions. But I would rather not hurt the heart of God to begin with. That's like David's psalm. So what do we do now? We should flee. Don't entertain it. Don't meddle with it in your mind. Run to God or even just get out of the house and physically go for a run if that's what it takes. Flee from it. Don't listen to the shame-filled lies the enemies will tell you, that God doesn't want to help you and God doesn't want to hear from you, that you've already locked in a stumbling block and sinned with your heart so mightily, you might as well just go all the way, that you have sinned too many times and have used up the grace of God to a point where he has abandoned you. Shut out these lies, magnify the truth. Jesus also speaks to the eye being the lampstand of the body in Matthew 6. It is the thing that illuminates our whole body. So do as Paul, he says in Philippians, and focus on whatever is good and holy. Let the things of God fill your eyes, and in doing so, fill your body. As an old saying goes, garbage in, garbage out. So don't let it begin to get in from the beginning, to begin with. Whatever you feed will grow, so your relationship with him will grow. Feed intimacy with him, feed vulnerability to him, and realize in all of these things, you are never alone. So let's try our psalm again, Psalm 101, in light of what that man said. Let's see what David was trying to tell us. Psalm 101. I will sing of mercy and judgment. How about that guy in prison? Yeah. O Lord, will I sing unto thee. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. That's a life that has come back to the Lord. Oh, when will you come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Well, see, Pastor Chris, that's where everything starts for me. Okay, I actually printed out, long ago, I put together a little progression of verses, and I've got two piles up front here. They can help you on a number of things. Whether you're dealing with unforgiveness, anger, lust, desire for drug use, desire for alcohol, or whatever it is that gets a hook into you, the process is pretty much the same, and that is, you're under attack. And so the first place you need to go with me if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You might say, well, why is God giving you this for a text on your heart? Because in the last year or two, I've seen some cases where people's pornography habits have caused them some severe real world hurt. And so since we get to see it, my job is to try to remind and warn you guys that if you're dabbling in these things and you're not careful, you're going to find yourself also, and it may be algorithm driven. It's a real world hurt. So when these things start coming your way, here's a progression of verses to help you. Number one, 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 10, verse 13. And in light of that letter, there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. Lust, desire, success, etc. It's all common. Every guy deals with it at some level with something. Everybody's flavor is different in what traps them. But no temptation is taking you but such as is common to man. Satan wants you to think you're the only one and get you isolated. But God is faithful. What did that say? God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. For King David, the staircase that took him up on the roof was also the way of escape, but he didn't take it. For you guys, the computer you turned on could also be turned off. Or the alcohol you pick up could also, don't buy it anymore. There's a way of escape, but you got to take it. So the first thing is, you're being tempted, it's common, but God promises even in temptation to you who is a son of God, a way of escape. Next one's Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. It's to the right of Corinthians. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 4, verse 6. Be anxious or careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. So first thing, temptation's common to man. There is a way of escape. Second thing, you need to come before God and make your request known to him. God, right now I'm being tempted to go back to doing heroin. I'm being tempted to go back to, you know, the red light district. I'm being tempted to go back to wherever he took you from. Or, you know, catching up with that girl from high school I knew even though I married. Whatever that temptation is, right? Let your prayer be made known to God, supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be known, even in temptation. God, I need your help. The next verse for you is 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, being verse 5. The context is, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Lust is getting a beachhead in your life. Drinking or whatever it is getting a beachhead in your life. The battle is spiritual, and God will get you out of it. They're mighty. They can pull down addictions. They can pull down lust. They can pull down anger. They can pull down unforgiveness. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations. Where does lust start? Where does it start? Your imagination. That's why David was talking about walking with a perfect heart. He had to learn the hard way, didn't he? Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Fill in the blank. Bringing into captivity a couple of thoughts. Verse 5, what's it say? Every thought. For some of you, that's going to be a minute-by-minute battle. Lord, I'm sorry. This thought does not belong in my heart or my head. Please help me. Unforgiveness, anger, addiction, desire, again, porn, whatever. When those thoughts and those temptations come, you go right to prayer with God. Lord, I'm sorry. This doesn't belong in my heart. Would you please get it out? And he'll help you. Take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. I've had people tell me, I can't help myself when this starts. And if you've been here a while, you know I've done this exercise. First car you ever drove, what was it? Mine was a 73 Mercury Capri Classic. Belonged to a buddy in high school. He was older and I was like 4 years older. Got to drive it. Anybody else? What was the first car you drove? I mean, aside from, you know, your dad letting you steer, sitting on his lap when you're a kid. Or when you're a kid, isn't it weird? My brother used to try and drive through all the potholes. I knew as a kid, like, He also liked to drive through other cars in high school, but that's another story. What was the first car you ever drove? Come on, say it. What was it? Come on, you'll tell what decade you're from. There we go. Okay, fine. Nice. Okay. What color? Ours is green, forest green. Manual or automatic? How many had stick shift? All right, you're in the club. That's called theft-proofed. How many automatics? Okay. You know what you've been doing? You've been telling your brain what to think of. You can help yourself. And remember, you're not alone. You have the Holy Spirit. So when these thoughts come in, I got to, Lord, would you please help me redirect my mind to places that are honorable? And that's why you memorize Scripture. Your word have I hid my heart that I might not sin against you. For me, early on in my walk, it was like, Lord, I don't want to be an adulterer before you by lusting after others. Please take this from me. And he answered it. So we have to cast down vain imaginations or imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You need to bring into captivity every thought. That means you got to do the hard work in your head. Walking in your heart, your house with a pure heart. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness, even dealing with yourself, to revenge all disobedience. I don't belong here, Lord, I'm sorry. Until obedience is fulfilled. Okay, great, so we've cast it down. Now what do we do? Back to Philippians. Back to chapter 4. Why don't we just stay there? Because you're wearing out your Bible. You're looking like you read it. Philippians chapter 4. First thing, we're supposed to be careful, anxious for nothing, all things with prayer and supplication. Let our requests be made known to God. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds. That's why prayer is important. Through Christ Jesus. And then after having done that work of bringing something in submission to him, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue or any praise, think on these things. That's where you spend your time mentally. Back to we thought of what car we first drove. You can do it with God's help. Put your mind where it belongs. With people who go through this, I often encourage them to do a 3x5 card of verses dealing with your issue, whether it's with lust or whether it's an addiction or it's anger or even just attitude towards your wife. Get some verses that help you with that. And when you're dealing with it, pull it out and put your mind on that. And if you'll do this as a behavior, okay, this is common. I got to pray. This thing needs to go. Lord, would you please help me set my mind? He'll set you free. I've seen God do this for people with different things over the years, so much so I keep it saved as a note. I get emails sometimes from people outside of here like, hey, I'm dealing with this. And I literally send them what's on the stage here, a copy of this saying, if you'll follow this and you take verses and begin to memorize them, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. This is how you get out of it. So having scriptures in our heart that speak to the actual temptation is the most effective way to capture it. Right? When Jesus was tempted by Satan, turn this stone into bread. What was the answer? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. A specific verse was every counterattack to Satan's scripture. And that's what we need. So you may find yourself trying to just get this area of your life under control. You may find yourself having to deal with it multiple times in an hour. But if you'll make the discipline of calling out to God, redirecting your mind, asking for his help, putting your mind back on a verse, what used to own you will eventually lose its grip. Even so, to when a temptation comes up, you're like, yeah, I know where that leads. And it's over. But I want to tell you, if you are here and you have been running a heavy porn addiction or whatever it is that you got caught in, I've seen lives getting so blown up. And I don't know if it's because of the fact that algorithms are serving up more content than in the old days. But I'm watching some people who wish they had never clicked or wish they had actually gotten, real with it, gotten accountable with somebody, who the damage is now done, the marriage is over, or worse, they're sitting in jail. And so I would rather warn you guys than go visit. Back to our psalm. I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Guys, look at your choices and ask yourself, are you being wise? I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come unto me? That day's coming. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. That's a great verse just to keep that. Start with that. If you're really dealing with attitudes and issues in your heart, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Consider it seriously. I've had people get rid of computers because they knew it was the problem. They got rid of them, gave them away. God bless them. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward, wicked heart shall depart from me. Why? Because I'm trying to walk in my house with a perfect heart. I will not know a wicked person. Choose your company wisely. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Watch out for those who lead you in the foolishness. Him that has a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. You know, guys who say, well, I'm saved by grace, right? Are you saved? That kind of behavior? You really know Jesus? My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. Choose good fellowship, that they may dwell with me. He that walks in a perfect way, he will serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. What if it's you? Well, then ask God to change you. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. You know, I've sat with many a couple, and many times wives knew long before their husbands admitted they had a porn problem. They could just tell. They just had this sense something's going on, and they're almost always the right. Same thing with affairs. Both husband and wives are like, God, something's going on, and they're right. They just know. He that works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that tells lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land. Again, make your choices, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Interesting psalm from David. It speaks of personal integrity, and to have personal integrity, he knew he had to guard his own heart first and his own eyes. You know something, fellas? I don't know how long we have until the Lord returns, but 1 John says, beloved, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we will be like him. And anyone who has this hope within himself purifies himself, your life, even as Jesus is pure. God's not asking you to live a sanctified life in your own strength because you can't. He's asking you to live a sanctified life in his strength. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing unto you. Lord, I lift up these men. I thank you they're here. And Lord, would to God, everybody here's got it squared away. Or it could be 20% of them don't. And yet they think they're the only one in the room. You didn't bring them here today to shame them. You brought them here today to correct them and guide them. And so, Lord, that's the hard thing. Young or old, the flesh is the flesh. And lust and desire knows no age limit. But I pray over these men because we're in a generation that is ever learning but not coming to the knowledge of the truth. And these men may be the only Bible their neighbors, their co-workers, their club members ever read. I've seen it, Lord. When I was in the working world, I knew one of my partners was in the porn just by the jokes he was telling. And he was. It has a way of showing up throughout how we live when we're compromised. And often the person doing those things cannot see it. So, Lord, I ask, as we're here this Saturday morning on a beautiful day, that you would minister to your sons in your house. You want them to walk within your house with a perfect heart, not just their own homes. And so, Lord, as we sing, as we stand, as we praise you, for those who are compromised, Lord, would you bring them to a place where they're finally honest with you? And they can leave your house, Lord, having received your mercy and your strength to turn from things that do not please you. And so, Lord, please come by your Holy Spirit and do the work of ministry among your sons, that they would leave the house of God changed men. So I thank you for our time together, and I thank you for all the hands that served us this day, and I pray your great blessing on them all. In Jesus' name, amen.